well, let's pray for a minute, and I'm going to pray, and we'll get started here. Father, we thank you for the truth of your holy written word, Father, which is lives and abides forever, Father, that it's forever settled in heaven. And Father, when we look at your word, Father, it is truth. Lord, you said thy word is truth. Lord, we know what the truth is. It is what you say. And we thank you that we can anchor our heart and our life upon the truth of your word. So, Father, as we look into your word tonight, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your understanding. We thank you for your truth in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Also wanted to remind us where we are. You know, we are a people of prayer, aren't we? Amen. How many know that we are our people of prayer? And what did Jesus say? He said in Matthew 21:13, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Hallelujah. My house shall be called the house of prayer. Now really, how many know that your body is the temple of God? And you are that house of prayer. Amen. When you pray, you become a house of prayer. Glory to God. You're part of the house. Really, the house of God is the body of Christ, isn't it? He's the head and we are the body. Many parts in that body, but glory to God, we decree and declare that we're a house of prayer right here at St. Thomas. Amen. Family Prayer Center is a house of prayer. Number one, we are. And we are people that are in love with Jesus. Amen. We aren't just trying to have a bless me club, but we love God. We love people. And we are making disciples that change the world. Amen. How many believe that? You want to be a disciple of the Lord. Amen. Now, I mean, we're not too far from there, but I mean, that's what we talk about. Luke 14, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, you have to what? Take up your cross. Follow me. You got to come after me. You've got to follow me. Walk with me. In other words, we have to lay down our life. We have to find that place of death to our flesh and life in God. In other words, we love him more than our husband or wife, more than our sons or daughters, more than anyone else. Amen. In our family. And we even love him more than our own life. The Bible says we lay down our life so that we can walk with him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's part of what we're here doing. And we're reaching the, you know, our desire is to reach the city of St. Thomas in Elgin County. Bring them into that relationship with the Father and fellow, you know, to bring them in, relationship with the Father and with what? Fellow believers, right? Amen. Because we love God. And we know if you love God, you're going to love people, right? It's part of it. He said, how do we know that we pass from death to life? 1 John, right? When we love the brother. Amen. That's the first way we know that we've been born again. Hallelujah. We want to have a place where we're worshiping God. Amen. That's what we're going to do. How are we going to make disciples? We're going to instruct people with the word of God and the power of prayer, enabling them to walk in the full authority of Christ, teaching people how to walk in him. Amen. And what's going on? To have sound doctrine. And so I just want us to see our vision is just beginning, really. It's been going on, but really we're just getting rolling. Hallelujah. We're going to be moving more and more as people come in, but we want to continue. How many wants to continue as a disciple of Jesus? Or do you want to stop where you are and quit and just be satisfied and go to church and be happy and have a nice life? I mean, some people say they want that, but then how many know what can happen? We can become deceived. The Bible says when we get into certain, you know, when we don't remember the Word of God, we don't remember God, we don't walk with God, we can forget what we look like. If we walk away from the Word of God, forget who we are. He says we deceive ourselves. We start believing things that the world teaches. And how many know that the world's going the wrong direction? Have you noticed lately? Everybody says, well, it's pretty obvious, Pastor, if you haven't noticed that. But I think it's important that we realize that there is deception out there. And what the enemy is building right now is he is trying to lead people astray and to take them away from God little by little, slowly. It is not a sudden resistance of God, but a slow draw to certain things of the world. And they leave what they have known, the truth, and begin to believe the lie. And it has been happening for quite some time, of course. We know, I mean, even when I was in school, you know, I guess the worst thing was, if it feels good, do it, you know. I mean, that's what people would say. Different things like that were beginning. But nowadays, it's getting worse and worse, isn't it? When adults are saying certain things to little bitty children and trying to wash their minds with dirty things. Things that I wouldn't even read from this pulpit right here. Things that you wouldn't look at or you would be embarrassed to read in front of anyone. So we need to realize that we are in a day and an hour where the church is even coming into some things where people will and have been falling away. We hear of some of these doctrines and I wasn't arguing with God. I was just trying to be sure, but he really placed it on my heart. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I don't talk a lot about the end time. I'm not a big end time person as far as what's going to happen exactly, because I'm still studying and I'm still looking, and I've heard a lot of different people over the years. And so far, I don't know if any of them are all, you know, they all have certain scriptures, but I'm still figuring that out. But there are some things that are very clear in the Word of God that will happen, and I think we should know them. How many believe that? It says here in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now, I want us to notice tonight for a minute, it didn't say all, but it does say that some. And I do believe that it'll be a significant some, that people will depart from the faith. Now, you can't depart from something that you never had. Some people say, well, are these Christians? Well, sure they are. Are these people that were truly born again? I believe they are. You say, well, how is that possible if they belong to God and were there? Well, because of seducing spirits. Because there's doctrines of devils. And because you and I have a choice, and we can choose to leave the foundation of the truth of the Word of God. And when he's talking here, he talks about it here, and he says, he speaks, "I must speak to you," and the Spirit speaks expressly, saying what? Unmistakably, vividly. It pictures something spoken clearly or something that is certain and sure. It's going to happen. It's not a maybe, it's not a hope so, but he says, "I'm telling you, this is something that is certain and sure. In the latter times." This is the ultimate end or the very last of something. The latter times. The very end or the very last. How many think it is very possible that we are we're approaching the very last of the times? That God can come. See, Jesus can come at any time. Everybody says, well, certain things haven't been done yet and this and that, but God, you know, Jesus says, I don't even know the day or the time, but it is up to the Father. And He is waiting for one thing, and that is the precious fruit of the earth, the harvest that will take place. Because simultaneously, as we see this happening, we're also going to see people like you, the children and sons of God, that are going to press in and continue to press into God and to know Him. And we're going to see a greater divide between the likeness and the dark, as we already are. If you look around just a little bit, it's not far hard to see, is it? Amen. Hallelujah. I think, you know, Rick Renner said it mostly. I mean, he says, you know, he talked about, hey, how to keep your head on straight when the world's gone crazy. He wrote that book. And it's very interesting that we need to stay alert in these times. And sometimes it's not just the things that we've learned, but we've got to listen to our spirit on the inside, because there's things that are going to be happening and God needs to guide you, possibly just to keep you alive. Because certain things are going to take place. I know that we don't see it just yet, but I believe it's going to get even worse in the world. There's going to be greater darkness. We may see some things that we don't like. Hallelujah. I know that I have been around for a while and we were seeing some people dying, and I just had that sense in my heart, we're going to see more death. I said, Lord, I don't want to see more death, but that's what's taking place. But there's also going to be a great harvest of souls, and there's going to be people that come into the light. And so we're going to see a great divide on both sides. There is a war right now. We see it in the earth. And, you know, a lot of places, it's pretty much right now, I see it as kind of 50-50 right now. Half people that, you know, a lot of people don't want darkness, but yet, you know, and then there's, of course, people on that fence, right? They're not sure what they believe in. And then there's some that are very vocal on one side or another and are in power at the moment. You know, there's certain people that get in the power. How many know it changes when the next person comes in? Doesn't mean we can't have any change. We're believing. We've been praying. We know that God can change some things. Amen. Even in the natural, I'm saying. He can remove some people and put others in. And how many know when they go there, things can change. There could be some swing. There could be some things, I believe, we can stop and we can lessen. But anyway, hallelujah. I don't know why I'm just sharing this, because I know I can't explain it, but it's really on my heart tonight that we need to be careful about the doctrine that comes into your life. I know Alan talks about it. Pastor Alan mentions it quite often, but it's so important. It is so important. The Spirit didn't say this by accident. He said expressly. It's unmistakable. It is going to happen for sure. The picture is clear. There's something that is unquestionable. It is certain and sure and will take place, that in the latter times, in the end of the end, is what that latter is talking about. When you look it up, yeah, I think I have the Greek word here. Hasteros, latter, pictures the ultimate end or the very last of something. And then there's times, which is a season. Hallelujah. How many know that there is the latter season or the very last of the last time that's taking place, and that we're probably at the beginning of? Maybe a little bit into it. And I don't think it's going to be much more. And we're going to see some more of this. You know, as we move forward, we'll see more and more. It says that some will want to depart from the faith. Well, what do you mean by depart? To stand apart from, to distance oneself from, to step away from, to withdraw from, or to shrink away from it. It is from the very Greek word apostate or apostasy. That's where it comes from. And so we'll see people shrinking away, and it's not, you know, like people think. It's not like, boom, they're going to be just resistant. I know there's people in the world that are resistant right now, but this is more of a drawing away, a slight moving. It is a little bit at a time. It is, you know, leaving one, like leaving the faith and beginning to grasp the world. You say, well, have you seen this? I've seen this. I have a good, well, he was a really pretty good, we were good friends, and we worked together. And he began to question some things, which is fine. But he felt that people didn't want him to question things or answer his questions. And he began to go into the ways toward the world. He's a really nice guy. To this day, he's a really, really nice guy. But he began to question the faith, which is not necessarily just talking about, questioning healing and things like that, but really refers to doctrine or to long-held, time-tested teachings of Scripture like Jesus is Lord, that He's the only way. And I am sad to say, I mean, He has just drifted and drifted more and more. He doesn't seem like He is angry at anyone or anything like that, living life like everything's fine, but I can do this myself. It'll be all right. I don't really need God, and I don't think God is really there. Isn't that sad? You said, well, can a person drift that far? Well, if they get hold, and if we realize there are doctrines of demons that come in. Doctrines of demons, amen? That means seducing spirits. They're seducing people. It says here, they depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Well, what does that mean? They embrace it. They give heed to it. They begin to embrace these seducing truths, to wander. Here's a seducing means to wander, a deception or a moral wandering depicts a person or nation that has veered from a solid path. As a result of veering morally, this person is adrift. It's also used to depict a lost animal that cannot find its path, to morally lose one's bearings, to wander off course. Oh Lord, help us, amen. Now do you understand why we say the Word of God is truth? That God has sent His Word. Amen. God sent His Word for us. Jesus said, we believe. John 17, He says, Thy Word, Lord, is true. God said that the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. Matthew 4:4, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word of God as proceed from the mouth of heaven. The mouth of God, really, the mouth of God. So we see there's a wandering, there's a deception, there's a moral wandering of a nation or of a people. And we're seeing that more and more in different areas all over the place. Not every nation, you know, acts like everybody else. Sometimes we think they should, but how many know they have a right to have their own culture? Amen. Hallelujah. They don't have to be just like us, thank God, with some of the things that are taking place these days. Believing truths and things that are just not so. I mean, I think someone was saying something the other day, and he says, well, it's us and them. I said, that's it. That's all the pronouns I can handle. Otherwise, I get confused. Us and them, that's enough. It's enough for me. I said, that's as far as I go. That's perfect. But, you know, we're not mad at anybody. People are deceived. We're to be moved with compassion. And we're to be moved with prayer. And we're to be moved with the Word of God and the truth that God has said. Because we can stand and we can still change people's lives. It's not too late. If you've got some people in your family, you see them wandering. We see them drawing back. We see them getting morally off. A moral wandering where they accept other things. Oh, Lord. These doctrines are well-packaged teaching that is applicable, to a lifestyle. It's something they try to apply. How many know we see all kinds of teaching towards certain lifestyles today? Amen. Lifestyles that don't honor God. Lifestyles that try to convince boys, I'm just going to say it, boys that they're girls and girls that they're boys is ridiculous. I said, I mean, this doesn't even make any common sense. I mean, I don't know how you could be something that you're not. And they never will be, and that's the sad part of it. Not really. They may act like it, they may pretend to be, but pretending doesn't make it so. Just because you identify as a millionaire doesn't make you one. How we know that's the truth. Amen. I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it? You know, well, I'm going out to spend my money that you don't have. You know, that's how I identify. Anyway, praise the Lord. That didn't go over well, but that's all right. But demons, in context, of course, that's evil spirits, demons, devils. The ancient world generally believed that demons were thickly populated, that demons thickly populated the lower regions of the air, and that spirits were the primary cause of disasters, sufferings, and actions of insanity. Hallelujah. Now you know it must be demons. You realize it's actions of insanity. And so we see this here, that now the Spirit is saying a surety there's going to be some of these things. There's going to be people that are, speaks expressly. There's going to be people that depart from the faith. They give heed to these things. They embrace them. They move in that direction of wrong teachings. They embrace what? Certain lifestyle. A certain way of living. Immoral. Ungodly. Unrighteous. Unholy. And it is up to us to continue to hold fast to what God has said. Say, well, I wouldn't be tempted to do any of those things. But, you know, if we allow ourselves to become weak, it wouldn't be a temptation. The Holy Spirit wouldn't be warning us if it wasn't a temptation or if it wasn't a possibility. Now, he said, now, you know, if it were possible, the times, you know, he's going to shorten the time. But it is important that we realize that Jesus is what? He's coming back, isn't he? He's going to come. There's no mistake about it. And when he does come, you and I are going to be ready because we're seeking after God. And that's why here we're teaching people to become what? The disciple of the Lord, not just following, not just showing up and taking up space, but to learn how to know him, to know God and walk with him. And that's the desire that's really been in my heart for a long time, is to walk with him. Lord, I want to walk with you. I don't want to just do nothing. I want the Word of God to be real in my life. I want people to see what that I do have the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, that kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control that flows from my spiritual man. And that's what dictates to my life so that I can be an example and I can be a strong, sound person. Because why? The Word of God is truth. I'm not going to allow the enemy to deceive me. That's why we're praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because He helps us. He begins to teach us what truth. He builds us up and strengthens us on our most holy faith. That we're not deceived. That the enemy doesn't stop us. That when we hear certain things, we know instantly because our spirit is built up. And we recognize it. I'm not saying that you can't anyway. Sometimes people do. And you say, well, I recognized it anyway. But these things happen. But we can make a difference. You can make it. You say, well, how can I make a difference in somebody's life? Well, I want us to look at something over here in Luke 13. Let's go over to Luke 13. Some people say, well, why did something evil happen to someone, or how did they get deceived and I didn't? Well, you know, if you start calling evil good and good evil, you could maybe walk in that. You're starting to walk in that direction. When you see evil, we've got to recognize it. Say, no, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to embrace it. I'm not going to say, hey, that's okay. See, when we start embracing and saying okay to sin and say, well, that's all right. If they do that, it's not that big a deal. Well, it is a big deal. It's a deal to God. It's a deal to their soul. It's important that they need to know that God loves them, yes. But there is a they need to realize that there is a righteousness that comes from God above, and His holiness and righteousness is important to their life. But you and I, as we're walking in that place, can make a difference in other people's lives. Here in Luke 13, Jesus says this. He says, first it says, there was present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So because these evil things came on them, you think they're worse sinners than other people is what they're saying. Jesus said, no, unless you repent, we'll all perish. You will all perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Jesus said it didn't happen. These evil things, they were not killed and their blood mingled with the wine by the king, by Pilate here, because they were worse sinners. Because they had some kind of terrible sins in their lives. And the tower didn't fall on them because they were in great sin. He said, no, we all have to repent or we're all perish. And then he said this. He spake also this parable. There's a certain man that had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found what? None. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on the fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And so here Jesus gives this parable. He said it's not first he's talking to them and he says, no, it's not greater sin that caused those people to die or that tragedy to come upon them. And then he gives this parable here. He's saying, hey, I got the fig tree. It's not bearing any fruit. Let's cut it down. They said, let's cut it down. Why do you want it to just take up space in the ground and waste the ground here? And he says, no. Answering, he says, hey, let me dig around it first. That means there's something that needs to be take place. And sometimes people say, why did this evil happen to one and not the other? And I'm going to submit to you because they did not have an intercessor. Not every case. I'm not talking about that. There are things that happen in the earth because there are accidents and so forth. But there are times when there are no intercessor, and because there wasn't an intercessor, the person died. And I know of examples of that, where one person had been praying for their son or daughter, and they didn't die. They threw up those pills that they overdosed on, and the other person lay there and died. And so, well, why? Because they had an intercessor, someone that would dig around them and dung it and continue to pray over them, say, give it a little bit more time because I'm standing and I'm believing that there can be fruit on this tree. Let me fertilize it. Let me pray over them. Let me stand a little bit longer. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, at the end of time, of course, right? If they don't repent, then of course they could be cut off and cut down, and then they would be cast away. I believe this is what Jesus is really saying here. Will you stand in the gap? Even though there are evils in this world, we can stop some things. We can still use our authority. We can lessen certain things, and we can cause God's purpose to come to pass, and people's lives can be saved. There can be changes. Hallelujah. We have authority. When we'll say, yes, Lord, I'll stick around. I'll pray. I'll dig around it a little bit more. I'll fertilize it. I'll believe for fruit on this tree. Hallelujah. How many believe that's true? You can stand. You can hold fast. And you can say, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm believing there's going to be fruit come to that person. There's going to be fruit on that tree. They are going to be saved. They don't have to be cut down and wasted away. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we have authority to stand in that gap. And that's one thing we can certainly do in these last days when we see certain people in our family that may be testing the waters or looking at what? The doctrines of demons. The seducing ways of life of this world. And as we continue and as we stand and we use our faith, we say, Lord, I'm not going to let this person be destroyed in the name of Jesus. I'm going to believe the word of God. I'm going to speak his word over them. I'm going to stand for them. I'm going to believe God and for ourselves. Hey, I'm not going to let the enemy deceive me. I'm going to stay with the word of God. I'm going to hold fast to what I have believed. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to draw near to the Lord. And I'm going to press in so that what? I have the answer for those that are hungry, for those that do turn and repent. Hallelujah. How many believe there is hope for everybody? As long as they're breathing. Amen. Hallelujah. And we are a house of prayer. We are a place that we're going to continue to pray. We're believing that the glory of God will have its way. And when people that are struggling, that are broken, come in a moment of time, how many believe one touch from God, you can be free? Amen. It may take some, you know, I mean, everybody says, well, what if it's not one touch, but it's several touches that bring them into freedom. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it's a process. I understand that. I do. But there is those places with God where we can see the alcoholics free, drug addicts delivered, people that come in and have one, they have a bad mind one way and go out another. come in their right mind, just like that. Hallelujah. And we'll have them here. If we have to, we'll get us a little padded room back here if necessary, and they can, you know, just listen to the message. Hallelujah. They may have went in there one day. Mama's in the service, and one day they walk out. Mama, how you doing? What happened? Where am I? What happened to me? Well, you lost your mind on drugs, son. Now you're free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. When we get people in an atmosphere, the Word of God is piped in. It has that power to stop the deceptions of the enemy. And we stay and we hold fast. And we don't allow the enemy to win. But we stand strong. We continue to press in, and we're going to see that God's going to have His way. Hallelujah. He's going to produce His fruit. This is His revival. I know He wanted it to be our revival, but it's His revival. God wants it more than we do. Everybody says, well, where is it? It's right here. It's in His Word. It is Him being everything He said He would be to us. Everybody's like, well, where are we going? Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Who knows what Mark 9, 23 says? I know some of you do. Maybe we'll talk about it one night. But Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, what? All things are possible to him that believeth. All things become possible. How many want to be one of those where all things are possible? You're available to Him to the point He can do whatever is necessary. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm going to pray. I hope you got something out of there, because I'm just wanting us to realize and to be careful of what we hear. The enemy is trying to draw people away. And you say, well, it's just this one little thing that I don't know if I, you know, I know what the Bible says, but it's just one scripture. Well, you might want to look around and see that principle in the Word of God in its fullness. And say, oh, well, maybe it's a little more than one scripture. It's meant, sometimes there's the truth of the Word of God is in many scriptures. And it brings a Bible concept all together. Amen. It may not specifically say, don't do that, but you know not to do it. Because it's been all through the Bible, all through the Old Testament. What did He say? He said, don't get caught up. And the certain, you know, they weren't supposed to make covenants with certain people. With people outside of their own faith. Amen. They didn't make covenants with them. And when they did, what? They got in trouble. You know, when you get mixed up in the worldly system, how many know when we start playing with the world, we get in trouble? It leads us into, I'm not saying anybody is, but you know, we want to do it God's way. And check every area of our life and make sure that we're staying solid in what God has said. When we have question, we seek Him and we ask and we find those scriptures and we stand strong. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for the Word of God tonight, Lord. I think we've looked, Lord, to see that there are some things in these last days that we face that haven't been in other times, in other seasons. Lord, it seems as though it's increasing more and more. Evil is good, and good is called evil. And Father, we're asking You for Your strength upon our people. Continue to strengthen them, not to be moved by what we see, but to be moved by the truth of Your Word of God, Lord, and to stand strong and to be bold and strong in these days, Lord, with the truth of who we are in You and Your authority that lives on the inside of us, Lord, that we continue to pursue You, Lord. We lay down our own life and we take up our cross and we come after You. We spend time meditating your word and prayer and seeking you because, Lord, we don't want to be of those that are deceived, Lord. We want to be of those that are of the truth and that we have the answer for anyone that asks us, Lord. We're ready to help in time of need. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.